There's a problem with ecological theories, though. They tend to be rather impersonal. They deal with general processes of cultural and social change. They talk about feedback. They talk about population growth. They talk about intensification of agriculture or whatever. They tend not to be about people. And the second major contemporary group of theories surrounds people. You call them, I suppose, as a general, you could call them social theories. In recent years, scholars have paid a great deal more attention to the complex dealings of individuals and groups, negotiating with each other, arguing, reaching agreement, falling in love, hating, fighting each other, whatever you like, the whole spectrum of human behavior, because they argue that decisions made in good faith in the short and long term by individuals and groups really shape civilization, shape social change. The combination of economic control over the sources and distribution of food and wealth, the development and maintenance of a stratified system with all its ideology, and the ability to maintain control by force were all vital factors in early states, as we shall see. But these things wouldn't work without people doing the decision-making. And the interplay between these three sources of power led to the development of new society-wide institutions like supreme rulers, bureaucracies, and new concepts of what human society should be like. So people are all important. The problem is that human behavior is often intangible, and this is the great challenge. There was no one moment when civilization came into being, for society continued to evolve after they appeared. Pre-industrial civilizations functioned in a milieu of constant change and frequent dispute. That's why some collapsed and others survived for centuries and millennia. The world's first civilizations developed in distinctive political environments, in dynamic crucibles of competing chiefdoms, where eventually one chiefdom achieved dominance over the others, which became the provinces of a larger political unit. This can be clearly seen in the long processes of unifying ancient Egypt into a single kingdom, which we'll talk about in Lecture 21. There's one lesson to learn. That in the final analysis, it is people and groups who are responsible for political and cultural and social change. Such seminal individuals, like the first Egyptian pharaoh, Horus Aha, were the agents that brought civilization into being. But unfortunately, we know the names of very few of these people. Aggressive individuals of great ambition and ability have always existed in human societies. However, the widespread conditions of social inequality and chiefly competition, which developed in some parts of the Eastern Mediterranean world about 5,000 years ago, proved to be a unique catalyst for such men and women to churn from being powerful tribal chiefs into authoritarian divine kings. They supported new ideologies which developed from earlier and much less complex worldviews. In other words, suddenly the world got infinitely more complicated, infinitely more socially and politically sophisticated and demanding for those who ruled, and ideology was the key to their success. This lecture began by defining what archaeologists mean by a civilization and a state, and we defined pre-industrial civilization and then summarized some of the common features of these early pre-industrial civilizations. And then we've discussed the early theories which accounted for the appearance of civilization, all of them with a single overriding cause. We concluded they were too simplistic, and then examined the recent multicausal theories which combine environmental actors with a strong emphasis on groups and individuals. For there is a strong social dimension to the origin of states. And in the next lecture, we'll see how these theories apply in Mesopotamia.